J'enchaîne avec Michael Berkshire. Michael Berkshire, c'est le chef du département développement durable de la ville de Chicago. Il se lève, le voilà. Il a son casque sur les oreilles. Michael, vous allez nous parler de la conquête des toits en parlant du cas de Chicago. C'est à vous pour 10 minutes.
Bonjour. And I'm not quite sure what you said, so I hope it was nice, but good afternoon. I'd like to thank today's sponsors, and in particular Elena, for inviting me to speak to all of you today and for sponsoring my trip to my favorite city in the world, Paris. I'm going to redirect the conversation a little bit today and talk. And instead of talking about theory and design, I'm going to actually talk about public policy implementation. So I'm going to spend the next few minutes specifically talking about the public policy that we have implemented since 2004 to bring us to a point of being a leader in the Green Roof Initiative globally. And this first image is City Hall. City Hall only occupies half of the building. The other half is county administrative offices. So, and they have not chosen to vegetate their side yet, but we're kind of glad because that's provided an urban laboratory where we actually monitor the temperature differences between the two roofs. And on a 90-degree day, that Fahrenheit, the county side reaches as high as 170 degrees Fahrenheit, whereas the City Hall side that's vegetated hovers around 90 degrees. So on a hot summer day, the temperature difference is almost 80 degrees between the two roofs. And in terms of the ambient temperature, so the temperature of the air, there's anywhere from a 3 to 10-degree difference. So we are proving that it will reduce urban temperatures. And so the first policy, and sorry it's so small, but this is really the main driver, and that's why I made it so small. No, this is really the main thing that we've used in Chicago and has been the most influential in terms of the number of green roofs we have. And very simply how it works is if you're receiving any form of assistance from the city, whether that be financial assistance or zoning assistance, you have to place a green roof on your project. And that includes not only new construction, but also major rehabilitation projects. This policy also, so in terms of assistance, I'm talking about both financial assistance. So if we're providing a project with tax increment financing, or if they're buying a piece of property at a reduced price from the city, or if they're receiving any tax credits, we have tax credits for both industrial rehabilitation projects as well as historic buildings. So all of those projects are subject to the policy, as well as projects that are large scale. So if they're a planned development, meaning they exceed a certain size, either height, number of units, square footage, those projects have to come through the Department of Housing and Economic Development for review, and in the end have to be approved by City Council. So those projects are also subject to this policy. And basically, it was all the projects that we have leverage over. We have a little bit of control. So our administration has always said that if they're getting something from us, we should be asking for something in return, especially something that it provides public benefits. So just to give a little bit of an idea of how this works, is that large retail projects that are over 10,000 square feet, which are a lot of our big boxes, the Targets, the Walmarts, if they're receiving financial assistance, they have to cover 100% of the roof with vegetation, and the building has to be LEED certified. And this is actually the first LEED certified Target store in the world. It was built about probably 5 or 6 years ago. That's the green roof on top of the store, and that's a photo of the facade. We also work with this project to have it be more of an urban design and character. We ask them to bring it all the way up to the sidewalk. They're usually out in the suburbs where they have a sea of parking in front of the building and the building setback, but we ask them to bring it up to the street front. So the next, if you're talking about carrots and sticks, so carrots, incentives, or sticks, meaning policies or regulations, the next stick that has been effective is our stormwater ordinance. What's unique about this ordinance is that it's performance driven rather than prescriptive, meaning we ask projects to meet a certain level of performance. And in terms of stormwater management, we ask them to keep the first half of inch of rain on site or increase the permeability of the site by 15% or more from existing conditions. That's the level of performance that we're asking for. And so instead of saying, you know, you have to build a green roof or you have to put in a permeable parkway, we just say you have to meet that level. But it is encouraging cisterns, permeable parkways, et cetera. And that is the green roof on 900 North Michigan on the left, which is one of our most beautiful and awarded green roofs in the city. The next is our first, actually, incentive. This was a small incentive. We provided $10,000 to residential as well as small commercial projects. We had 75 applicants, and only half of those were built. Many of the projects, they found out that the design and the construction was a little bit more expensive or a little bit more extensive than they thought. So less than half of those projects were actually completed, but those are two. This is a green roof on top of a garage behind a design studio, and that's actually a green roof on top of a health food store right by my condominium, and they grow a lot of the produce that they sell in the store below. The next incentive was called the Green Roof Improvement Fund. This was being offered in our central loop area, so the area that Gail was talking about with the decarbonization plan earlier today. The incentive was if you place a green roof on an existing building within our central loop, we would provide 50% of the cost of construction up to a maximum of $100,000 per project. And this is the only project that we received an application for. In the 3 years that this program was in place, we only received one application, and it was on top of a condominium in the Central Loop area. So not a very successful program. The next is our density bonus. Very simply, how this works is if you put a green roof on any new building in the downtown area, you can build a bigger building. It's not a simple calculation. I wish I could say for every square foot of green roof, you can build an additional square foot of space, but it's very convoluted calculation. But we've had, I think, around 20 projects take advantage of this zoning bonus. So it's been quite successful. The next is our Small Business Improvement Fund. This is a map of Chicago, and all the areas in purple are part of a SBIF district or a Small Business Improvement Fund district. And if you're a business in any of those districts, if you place a green roof on your project, we will pay anywhere from 25 to 75% of the costs of the green roof, depending on your revenue and how large of a business you are. So it's a sliding scale from anywhere from 25 to 75% of the cost. The next is our open space impact fee. Anytime a project adds new residential units, they have to either provide new open space in the neighborhood that the project is in, or they have to pay into an open space impact fee. And if they place a green roof that's accessible by all of the residents or the folks leasing space in the building, we provide a credit to their open space impact fee. And this project, they actually received a credit of $900,000 for this project. So it was quite a significant incentive. The next incentive is our green permitting program. And this is if you qualify as a green project under our set of qualifications, you can go through our building permit process in 30 days or less. That's compared to the typical process taking anywhere from 60 to 90 days. We're cutting in half, if not a third, the amount of time you have to spend within our building department. And sometimes, you know, projects are in the building permit process up to a year. So this can be, again, a very significant, this is a process-oriented incentive, but it also can be financial because of the amount of time, the amount of money you can lose by spending a lot of time with the city. And there have been some comprehensive planning that has also helped to support the amount of green roofs in Chicago, the climate action plan. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I don't want to exceed my 10 minutes. But our goals are to reduce our carbon emissions by 25% by 2020 and 80% by 2050. In Chicago, what we have found is that 70% of our emissions come from energy usage in buildings. And another really important statistic is that 80% of the buildings that will be standing in 2020, when our initial levels of performance are trying to be achieved, already exists. So that means that we really have to focus on the existing buildings. And we feel that green roofs will help that, not only in terms of mitigating the climate change, but also in adapting to changes that we're already going to experience due to the amount of carbon already in the atmosphere. And another comprehensive planning process that we went to is called Adding Green to Urban Design. And the goal of this was to maintain and improve upon our urban design to optimize the environmental benefits. And what we meant by that is, the realm of the city that we were looking at is everything outside the building. LEED really focuses on all of the activities within the building, but we really wanted to focus on everything from the rooftops to the facades of buildings and in our public right-of-way. And the objectives were, of course, to preserve, expand, and also improve the quality and the performance of vegetated areas throughout the city. It led to 21 key strategies, and it was, again, a very inclusive project or planning process. It included 9 departments within the city. It really was one of the first instances where the different departments really did need to leave the silo that they normally work within and collaborate with other departments in the city. And so, what has been the result of all this work? Again, I might have failed to mention that the Sustainable Development Policy has been in place since June of 2004. So it's been in place for over 8 years. And we really wanted to see what the results of all of these activities have been. So we bought satellite imagery from the fall of 2010 to actually identify all of the green roofs that have been constructed within the city of Chicago and analyze the health of those existing projects. And there was a lot of analysis that was done with that data set to actually identify. And I won't go into the details again because I don't want to exceed my 10 minutes. But this is how we started to actually identify the green roofs in the project. And this is kind of interesting because you can see in the lower right-hand corner of this image, that's another Target store. And initially, our policy was that you had to cover 25% of your roof with vegetation. And you can see that they did not exceed 25% on that project. And then right to the left of that project, this is a new condominium. The requirement was 50% coverage, and you can see that almost exactly 50%. So they typically don't exceed the requirements that we ask for. So the results are that we have 359 green roofs sprinkled throughout Chicago. They total a little less than 5.5 million square feet. The average size was a little over 15,000 square feet, and I'm sorry I didn't convert this into metrics. And the medium size of green roofs was a little over 5,000 square feet.
Divide by 10, roughly that's
what. Okay, great. So divide by 10, so that would be a little over 500,000 square meters, right? And sorry, the formatting changed a little bit on this, but we also wanted to find out, okay, why were these green roofs built? So we had the team that did this analysis analyze where they came from, and the ratio of required roofs versus elective was 297 to 62. So Over 83% of the roofs that were constructed were because they were required by the city. And in particular, the sustainable development policy was the reason behind 82% of those roofs. So 294 were built because of that policy. 3 we felt were required through the stormwater ordinance. 17 were a result of going through the green permitting program. and 17% or 62 were totally elective. And some of those were, a few of those were projects that were provided assistance through our various incentive programs. So a little fun tool just to further engage the general public about green roofs is that you'll be able to go, we're creating this new site and it's supposed to go live, I think, next week. So you'll be able to use Google Maps to go over the aerial photograph of the city. Every building that has a green roof will have this icon on it. You can actually click on the icon, the address will come up, and then you can click on new fact sheet, and the fact sheet about that roof will come up, and it'll show the image from the satellite imagery, the total square footage, the amount of the roof that is vegetated, and we have the relative health of the roof, but we're not going to provide that publicly. I have that, but this will not be a part of the final website. So in terms of the environmental benefits of this square footage, we have estimated that 21 metric tons of carbon are being mitigated each year by the nearly 5.5 million square feet, and that 124,000 gallons of stormwater are absorbed through that square footage as well, which is very important. I'm sure similar to Paris, we have a combined sewer system in Chicago, and we have a chronic issue with basement flooding throughout the city, as well as raw sewage is being dumped right into our rivers through our outflows. And also, in terms of climate action, it's very important that we absorb that stormwater and take it out of that combined sewer system because of all of the energy that's used to treat that stormwater that really doesn't need to go to our sewage treatment plants. And our the entity that does manage our sewer system is the largest user of energy in Chicago. So if we can eliminate that energy usage, that would be very helpful. So with that, thank you for your attention.